Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the talk show worth talking about, Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio, with your co-host, Kevin Hogan, founder of the Healing Stigma Program, and Scott Fullerton, voice of Left of Straight Radio. From A-list entertainers to hometown heroes, join Kevin and Scott as they interview those on the cutting edge of challenging stigma with insight, humor, and always compassion. Give them your ears and they'll open your mind. For positive talk with positive results, you're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. Now here are your hosts, Scott and Kevin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio. It is Thursday, July 14th. I'm your co-host, Scott Fullerton, as always with my co-host, Kevin Hogan. Kevin, how are you today?
I am very pleased to be here, my friend. And I know we have an awful lot to talk about, but I just missed you. So it's good to hear your voice. How have you been? What's going on?
It's been a good week here, been a busy week, but I took a vacation day yesterday. I usually have a show on Mondays and Tuesdays, you know, and Tuesday I took yesterday off. I had to do a bunch of little fun stuff around the house, so that was a recharge battery day, so that was fun. But so much going on, and there's been so much in the news since we talked last week. I mean, it's just been a crazy week kind of wrapping my head around that, but overall doing very good. How about yourself?
Well, yeah, I think the current events often dictates what goes on with what I'm doing throughout the week. So it's been, I think when we spoke, we were speaking about naturally the first of three major tragedies recently now that have rocked our nation. And we were talking about the shooting of Alton Sterling in Baton Rouge. But since then, obviously, the role of social media in what Diamond Reynolds filmed in her partner's death in Falcon Heights there with, Mr. Castile, Philando Castile. That was so shocking. Again, what social media does in that sense of the live streaming, we can, you know, get to that and talk about it. And then, of course, Dallas, the most lethal day for law enforcement since September 11th. So this has been going on, I think, you know, in such a way since we last spoke that I actually have been on two White House stakeholders' calls that have been set up. Though off the record, I can discuss to a certain extent my own impressions of it, but for community leaders as well as faith leaders and others, I would say also in preparation for the president's town hall meeting that's going to be tonight after our show, I'd encourage people no matter what you think, check it out. I believe it's going to be on 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's, this is a conversation. This is dialogue. This isn't politics, and we need to have it. I have a bunch of things to say on it, but wow, what a week. I can't compare it to anything else. And it's been one of those times, as I said, where Healing Stigma Radio, I think, it's a very important platform that you created, helped to create here, Scott. So it's good to be here.
Well, yeah, I think it is so important, and I really do hope they listen to the president's speech today. I think he was so eloquent on Tuesday, probably one of his best speeches ever, and he's done some whoppers, and unfortunately it was the 11th one of his term he's had to deliver in somewhat trying circumstances. But, yeah, fill us in what you can about these calls. It sounds exciting stuff that they're really trying to get some stuff done here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's – here's the thing. I mean, I think there's a debate that's going on that is just and it has to happen. It's a very sensitive debate in which, you know, there are groups out there almost, I would say, vying for it's almost a linguistic battle in a way over the you know, what lives matter most, which is, you know, Black Lives Matter is actually a campaign, a political a campaign with, as far as I have seen, some tangible, some goals set out, ways to get there, as far as I've seen, a peaceful organization. And yet, as we speak, there is and I know this is absolutely crazy, but there is a movement to have it looked at as a terrorist organization, for the White House to review it as a terrorist organization for one of these, you know, change petitions or something that's out there. So the vast misunderstanding, the vast, I would say, you know, misinformation that runs around is really, really dangerous right now. And so that's why being on these calls, you know, the continuation, as you said, from what the president said, is the fact that our similarities between, say, activists and police that in a split second in Dallas were there protecting each other and working together. Is also the fact that when a group, be it a group of people because of race, be it a group of people because of their job, be it individuals, and I know I come in from this from the stigma side of it, but when people are labeled with something that places their whole person and therefore their identity in danger, we really do pay a great price in who is there to protect us when even the protectors are under fire. So, I mean, we've seen it. We've had heroes in Dallas, and we've also had, I think, a number of heroes in peaceful leaders, activists across the country, including from, you know, from what I see, a number of organizations, and that's really incredible. I mean, there was still a quote I had our social media team put out from Martin Luther King just the other day, again, on, you know, I'm summing it up poorly, but, you know, violence doesn't, it's not going to win. It's not, it's only going to dehumanize the other side.
Right, exactly. I mean, it's just a real crazy thing. I hesitate to deal into it because, like you said, Black Lives Matter is getting all this negative press, and I can't speak to them, but it reminds me when you hear it, well, it should be All Lives Matter. There's been some great memes going around. My favorite so far, I think, is you just don't get the point. When we say save the whales, does that mean to hell with the dolphins? Or if we say support the troops, does that mean to hell with the coal miners or something like that?
Yeah.
It's like you have to understand they're separate things. And like you said, there is now, at last count, 119,000 signatures to a petition at whitehouse.org to try to get Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization, which is not anywhere near its purpose. I mean, are there fringe elements of everything that kind of make things go wonky every once in a while? Sure, but it's a very crazy time right now.
Here's the thing. I could just also say this maybe from a more of an academic perspective, maybe more from what I've seen, you know, again, from the long form writing that I'm doing with the Stigma book. Here's the one thing I can say. When a group of people, oftentimes those and individuals as well that have been, you know, stigmatized or labeled and treated poorly, when that becomes a moment of expression and the group that oftentimes has been either oppressing or is in a majority is faced with that, this happens oftentimes in language as well as people. When I was stigmatized, I'm not saying the same thing. When I was stigmatized, there were a lot of people who wanted to, say, put an arm around me, both as an employer or as a friend, and say, this would be really great. Now, just promise don't talk about what happened, okay?
Right, right.
And that's that. What that does is that actually that increases the stigma. It makes people self-stigmatize, and then people do things because they got to put a roof over. And that's when I made a choice. In my situation, I made a choice, but I had support. You know, I had people around me. But that is what happens when other people, especially those of a different skin color or whatever, to say, listen, it's not Black Lives Matter. It's All Lives Matter. No, you really shouldn't tell a group of people who are organized, have statistics about how dangerous it is in this country and, you know, how high a rate of incarceration we have against people of color as well, not just men but women of color as well. And this is a real statistic that needs to be addressed along with safety of police, along with safety of all lives. But there
of course,
is nothing
right.
about You know, there's nothing about a group that says Black Lives Matter as a group of Americans who we know have we have seen time and time again are in very dangerous situations that other people who have not been in that situation probably cannot understand. To then try and take the argument away by changing the language and saying that's not what it's about, that's a really slippery slope. And what it says to people who've been stigmatized is your experience isn't real and we don't want to acknowledge it. We want to say all lives matter so we can just move on and feel more comfortable. I'm not saying that about when people say it to everyone, but I'm saying just consider that when you don't acknowledge something that is about peaceful change for those that really, as we know, are in situations that are quite dangerous every day in the streets in our country.
No, exactly. You're right. And then it just, there's so much emotional overload and so much happening all at once here. We've forgotten that 30 days ago we had the worst shooting in U.S. history and
right.
towards our LGBT community. And that's almost gone out of the press already, and it's really less than 30 days old. I was so happy.
It wasn't on these calls. I can say this, Scott. I can't, like I said, it was off the record, so I can't quote people, but it was brought up a number of times in the calls, and I do expect it. I do expect I'll be listening closely. You know me also now putting the hat on as a bisexual leader that understands when, you know, the B is erased. In at times I try to stand up for that, but I will be listening to it later tonight in the town hall meeting as well, because I don't think that's going to be forgotten. I've heard it a lot. It's being brought up, and especially with faith leaders. And the frustration and the good conversations that has led to. I've got a lot more to say about that with a new report that's out on bisexual youth homelessness. I won't do it on this report right, you know, on our talk right now. But what I'm saying is that conversation, I do believe, is going to be carried through and not forgotten. And if not, we've got social media to respond. There'll be ways to, you know, there's going to be local shows as well. I know here in Boston all day we've had the hashtag Race in Boston, and there's going to be, another town hall meeting after the president's one local in Boston. I'm sure other areas will have theirs as well. So we can respond as our LGBT community needs to feel included in that conversation as well. We can respond with good voices.
Right. And we're not forgetting in little ways. I mean, I don't know if you were able to see it, but Lin-Manuel Miranda from Hamilton and J-Lo came out with a new single. They premiered it yesterday on Today's Show, and I think it was on Jimmy Fallon last night for Orlando. And, of course, they've had to pivot it now, and it's for everybody because it is such a one event after another, but it's a couple of great songs, and hopefully we can get the rights to play it on here sometime soon. But we have that one, and then we have the Ham song from that was done by various artists last week, I believe it was. It had everyone from Britney Spears and Jason Derulo and all these other artists putting together, Gwen Stefani, everyone doing another thing for it called Hands for Orlando. And all of those songs are benefiting the groups. I believe J-Lo and Lin-Manuel's is donating one of the Hispanic charities for that. I know the other one was for Equality Florida's Victims Fund, along with part of it going to GLAAD, part of it going to the greater LGBT Center of Central Florida. So there's still some great things going on out there. So that's always very exciting.
That's
but, yeah, just it's something to talk about that we can't forget, but we need to find a way to get past it and to fix it. We can't just keep getting past these things and going on to the next one. We have to find a way to actually heal them and move on from there. So,
well, hey, I've got another announcement that's going to be good is people can now go and please do check out our new Healing Stigma Radio website. Speaking about healing, speaking about being able to get access to the conversations that I think, you know, we really try to make matter in this, you know, in this day and age about trying to promote healing and positive news. I think our social media team just keeps batting it out of the park. I know we just redid the Healing Stigma website a few weeks ago, but wow, the new Healing Stigma Radio website, please, when you get done, go check it out. Tell your friends, follow us on Twitter. It is really something that we're very, very proud of and thankful for.
Exactly. Please check it out. It's www.healingstigmaradio.com. Again, you can always follow us on Twitter and join the conversation on Twitter. That's at Heal Stigma Radio. Our social media team does such a great job on getting information out there, not just about our show and our guests and everything, but it really she does so well in making sure that people understand things that are going on all around the healing stigma community. So definitely want to check out that website. I think it is going to premiere tomorrow, and Twitter is available all the time. There's a Facebook page you can join. So we're really looking forward to all of that. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break and see if we can get our guest today. We have the amazing Tara Radcliffe on. You may have seen her on Bravo's television show Newlyweds the first year. Such a great show. Her and her husband Rob, such great people on that show. We're so excited to be able to talk to her tonight. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes for that. We're going to play a little bit of Jay Knight's Living for the Memories. When we come back, we'll be talking to Tara Radcliffe. You're listening to Healing Stigma Left to Straight Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of moments. Silence.
single second that will stand the test of time.
Waiting for a moment that's already passed you by. Don't you want to know what you've been missing? What you've been missing?
Single second that will stand the test of time.
Waiting for a moment that's already passed you by. Don't you want to know what you've been missing? What you've been living blind.
Life is what happens when you're making up a plan.
Sorrow, no need to feel the pain we do. No need for angels, demons, or fables, praying to gods that don't come through.
Dream as if you'll live forever.
Live as if you'll die today.
I don't even know. Anything is even real. Nowhere and nowhere. Losing time.
Life is what happens when you're making up a plan.
Here and now.
All we have to live is our strategy.
Here and now.
Hold on tight, we're living for the memory.
All right, and that was Jay Knight, Living for the Memories. Guys, we're so excited today. We have our first guest. She is a real triple threat. As a classically trained chef, a pinup model, and a sex coach helping with sexual empowerment of women, she has been featured in Adore Pinup magazine, as well as being one of four couples filmed with her husband, Rob, on Bravo TV's Newlyweds the first year. They made headlines and received some stigma-inducing backlash for coming out as bisexual on the show even. But she has just shown all of it through such grace and such beauty, and we are so excited to have her on the show today. Please welcome Tara Radcliffe. Tara, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. Thank you. I'm so excited to be on the show.
Yeah, Kevin and I are so excited to have you. Welcome aboard. How is everything out in beautiful L.A. today?
Oh, my God, it's absolutely breathtaking. It's hot as hell, but it's breathtaking for sure.
Understand. Well, Kevin and I are so excited to have you on. Kevin, say hello to our guest today.
Oh, I am so honored to be in the presence of the pinup housewife, because that's what I am. So I've been looking at the photos, and I have to say both, it's we're so out. My wife and I is bisexual. Everybody knows it. But we are so smitten with your photos and the whole style and the layout. After we're done talking, I want all of our listeners to go check it out. But, wow, your style is really wonderful, really. It's a great match for that gorgeous sun out on that coast. It really is.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. I'm, like, blushing right now.
Yay! We love it. See? This is radio. This is radio that increases your internal body temperature, folks. Remember that. Listen to this podcast.
That is so funny. It's hilarious.
Well, Tara, let's start. We're going to go all into the show. I mean, of course, you had such a great run on Newlywed Show. We want to talk all about that in a bit. But let's start with you. Talk a little bit about where did you grow up. I want to talk about your Persian ancestry. We met your mom and dad on the show. Talk about where you grew up. What kind of kid were you? And tell us all about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay. So, again, I was, I grew up in like mostly Wessex Village, Thousand Oaks area, like typical suburbia. And, I grew up in a very, very strict Persian conservative household. And, the things that like got me into like my pinup and my chef stuff, my culinary background is that from like my childhood, when I was a little girl, my mom constantly would play these like old 1950s, 1960s like Persian music, like all over the home, and and she would be cooking and she'd be entertaining all the time, and I like remember, I would just like look up to her and be like, oh my god, she's like so perfect, you know, she's just such a great cook. And she just, like, would make people laugh all the time, and she's always dressed so nicely. And I'm like, I just want to be that, you know? And
yeah,
so,
can I jump in? Can I jump in and be really rude? Because I interrupt. I'm not like Scott at all here, Tara. So this is Kevin.
Fine, yeah.
You know what fascinates me? You know what fascinates me? Because for me, with the idea of, you know, oftentimes we can have people, a wide range of listeners here that will listen, you know, have whatever the reactions are, get into the conversation, please. But what I think is fascinating here is if you hear pinup housewife, I would say, like, from a feminist perspective, I could hear some feminists really rolling their eyes. But for you, when you say that, there's something in it that brings out for you a real – now I get a lot – I can't wait to hear more about what, you know, in terms of empowering women and as a sex coach. But now I get there's something in this that is so wonderful, so beautiful, so freeing, and so about you and your culture that now that you're talking about it, that's why Healing Stigma Radio is here. That's a great explanation as you're talking about it, because it really blows away that argument of it being, you know, of it being limiting as housewife on one side and pinup as the other. Yeah.
You know what? Just up until recently, I never heard anybody really, like, say, any feminist, like, coming up to me or saying anything about, like, what I'm doing. Until recently, I've been getting, like, you know, messages and everything about, you know, like, we don't think that what you're doing is right, and, you know, you're not empowering women. You are.
No, you're kidding.
In fact, you know, you're trying to bring women back to, like, the era when we had no kind of like freedom, and we weren't like able to.
Just give him Dita's number. Tara, just give him
Dita's
number and keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly.
You're going to be really busy because you got some really good foodie stuff going there. Give him Dita's number.
Exactly.
Tell him, listen, Dita's already answered this question. I'm doing some new stuff here, baby. Come see my new shoot.
Exactly. And I'm just baffled. I'm like, guys, I'm not trying to bring back the 50s. I just love, like, the 1950s, 1960s style. I think women were gorgeous and glamorous, and they had this sex appeal about them, but they were so elegant, and I love that look. And and I'm a foodie, and I'm cooking, and I'm, like, and I'm a wife, and I'm, like, okay, I'm putting together all these things that I love, and I'm doing this whole pin-up housewife thing. I don't know why you're doing so crazy and like
but also isn't it amazing that you can have a man play, you know, in terms of, you know, a role, let's say, as a character, as that character, you know, is perceived as being something, let's say the dashing leading man. That can be the same role the person plays over and over and over again. Again, what I like in this, there's a freeing way that expresses your culture and everything else. I really like that you're talking about it. One of the things I just wanted to toss in there, I'm just curious about this, is you know, what is it like when, you know, I really like that word empower. So how does that connect? Or maybe you're going to get to that anyway. But again, how does that work for when you've helped others? It, you know, I get there can be people that are going to need to get it. By the way, when you start to get that kind of mail, it's because you know you're starting to make a difference. So keep going. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But how
Thank
did it get
you.
To empowerment? That's what I'd love to know. Go ahead.
You know, for empowerment for me, as far as like the whole pinup housewife stuff goes, it's like when you feel confident with how you're looking and how you put yourself together and you do things for yourself to make yourself feel good, whether that's in a pinup look or, you know, your modern look, whatever it is, that's empowering for you as a woman. To put that effort in for yourself and make yourself, like, feel beautiful, you know, and as far as that stuff, as far as the fashion and everything goes with it. And then, you know, with the sexual stuff, that's all, like, depending on the woman itself. It's really hard for me to answer that question as far as, like, how to make women feel sexually empowered. It's like, are you talking sexually empowered or are you talking just empowered in general?
I guess what's so wonderful is you started, for me, it's the different dots along the way in this wonderful journey, Tara, because, you know, as you said, you're from a very traditional Persian household, and I myself,
yeah.
I can kid about it now, but I tell people I'm Boston Irish, but I was really from a very traditional Irish Catholic background in Boston, and yet
yeah.
in the same way through all this, I've found my voice, I've found a way of expressing myself that I feel both artistically and, you know, for the bisexual community and greater, is a great way of
yeah.
right now dealing with these other things in the world that have to do with hatred or whatever. But I mean for me, I think the thing in it that's interesting is that dot of a very I wouldn't say constrained, I'm not going to put that word, but, you know, a very strict, upbringing, now to the point where there's a person there, the same person is helping empower women. I just think that
yeah.
arc is wonderful. And where that comes from, maybe it's a motivation.
Yeah.
It could, maybe it's already, as you said, your mother with these great skills
yeah.
of giving out both food and comfort and wisdom all at the same time, which is wonderful. But
yeah.
I was just curious where that arc came from, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For me, the empowerment part for me came from, I grew up with this very conservative family, obviously. And I kept a lot of my, a lot of things to myself, like as far as what I like sexually and what I like just in general in life. And I hated
naturally.
That feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And that's
anticipating
was, like,
stigma.
I
don't mean to interrupt, but that oftentimes, in anticipation of stigma, that's why, again, for many of our listeners, I'll just say this, the bisexual community has some of the largest numbers of closeted individuals because they anticipate the great stigma, not only from, the greater community, but oftentimes at home, especially for youth. It also just came out, one of the highest homeless rates for LGBTQ youth is for bisexuals, and it's because of stigma.
Wow.
So, anyway, sorry to interrupt, but that's...
That's
crazy.
So,
now, Tara, you had such
yes.
a great relationship on the show with your sister. She kind of talked you through some rough moments there.
Yeah.
How were you
yeah.
guys growing up? Were you competitive growing up, or did you encourage each other in looking your best and being your best?
Not at all, actually. We actually didn't get close until I was, 18 years old. When I moved out of my home, and I was living in San Diego at the time, and she lives out in San Diego, and we became very close then, but up until then, we actually had barely any kind of relationship, which is crazy, because we are, like, best of friends right now. We've literally talked almost every day, and she's just,
good for you guys.
She's everything to me, and I love her dearly. She's actually one out of six siblings for me. A lot of people don't know
wow.
that, but there's seven of us in my family, and I have five half-brothers and sisters, and then I have my little brother, and we're all, like, pretty close, but me and my oldest sister, the one that's on the show, she's my everything, and I have another sister as well that I'm very close with.
So you were just waiting until you guys had good things to say. That's okay. See, never
yeah.
give up.
Yeah.
True.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and we'll go into the show a little bit and start at the beginning here. Now, you yeah. and Robert each married before, and you guys met at a real estate office. What was the
yeah.
initial? I mean, what was the initial attraction? Obviously, we know you had very much sexual compassion or heat as far as that. But I mean, were you a little scared about going into another relationship? Or talk about that initial meeting with Rob and what really attracted you to him that made you think, well, yeah, I'd be willing
yeah.
to try this whole relationship thing again.
Right. So the whole thing with me and Rob's relationship was very actually like dramatic when we came out with everything on the show. So me and Rob, we met actually like a year before Vegas when we had really met, you know. And I worked for Rob for 3 days. I was his assistant. I worked for him as a transaction coordinator, and that's how we first had initially met. the working relationship didn't go too well. And then at that time, we actually didn't have any kind of chemistry. I was engaged at the time. He was married. And we didn't even look at each other in that way at all. And then I ended up getting a job offer somewhere else that was a little better. And I ended up going to work for one of his competitors, where she was, like, very, like, upset about. I was not good. And then fast forward, like, almost a year later, I was in Vegas, and we met out there. We bumped into each other, like, out of, like, thousands of people that were there, we bumped into each other in this little hallway at the seminar, and we're like, oh, my God, like, what are you doing out here kind of thing, right? And so,
right, if that doesn't make you believe in fate right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. And even at that point, I didn't even look at him in, like, I'm attracted to him way. And he didn't either until I had a conversation with him on the phone that same night. And I was like, wow, this guy really has caught my attention. You know, he's into all the things that I'm really into, like meditation and just taking care of ourselves and real estate. And, you know, we were so compatible. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so crazy seeing this guy in this type of life, I guess. And, on the show, obviously, I mentioned that I was married at the time, and I was in a very conservative, strict marriage with a Persian guy, and I just wasn't in love. You know, I got married way too young to a man that I really was not in love with, you know, and it was very unfortunate that it happened the way it did. Yeah, so we ended up going out for dinner the next night, and we just, you know, like, really hit it off. It was crazy because I will never forget this. We were sitting in front of each other at this restaurant in Vegas, and I looked at him, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is the man that I'm going to spend my life with. This is my soulmate. Like, it was, like, the weirdest feeling in the world, and it was so scary at the same time because I knew my life was about to change, and the rest is history, obviously, you know.
How long was it from the time you had that aha moment till you guys decided, well, maybe it's a good idea if we film ourselves for the first year before we get married?
Yeah.
How long the relationship did you guys have before that happened?
We were together for 2 years before we ended up doing the show, signing up for the show. So.
And how did that conversation happen about being open to doing that show?
So I was filming a pilot out in Malibu for this little reality show that was going to happen based out of, like, Malibu kind of housewife thing. And it didn't go the way that I expected. And I dropped out of that because I just didn't like the whole concept of the show. And through that show, I met a wonderful woman, and she introduced me to the casting director of Newlywed. She was really good friends with her.
Okay.
So, and she had mentioned the show concept and everything. I'm like, oh, this is really fascinating, you know? Like, this is something that I could do with my husband, and he's, like, my best friend, and how fun would that be to do this together, and, you know? And it took a lot of convincing because Rob was not really gung-ho about it in the beginning, and it just kind of happened, you know, after, like, bunch of negotiating with the contracts and all that kind of stuff. It just kind of happened. We're like, all right, well, let's just do it.
Wow,
and
that's cool.
It was like something, it was just something fun that we can add to the bucket list of things in our life, you know?
And did it kind of pretty much happen as you expected it to happen, or did anything really take you by surprise? It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this for the entire world to see.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we all know about the hot tub scene, if you guys watched that one. That one really caused a lot of drama in my life from my family. My family actually stopped talking to me for months and months. I just started talking to them again, like, maybe like a month and a half ago, 2 months ago after that whole
episode. Wow.
And, but you know what's crazy is that now after that, like, we are so close with one another, and I feel like with me coming out on the show with being bi and all this negativity for the show with my family, it just kind of, like, forced us to talk about really, like, some really uncomfortable topics. And that was, like, the best part of the show, you know, is that all this stuff that I've been holding on to, I was able to talk about and get it off my chest. And it just forced me to talk to my parents about it, which I was so scared about. And now we're, like, so close, and they've completely accepted who I am. And I feel like there's really not that much judgment around anything anymore, and it just feels good, you know? So that was like positive stuff that I came from the show.
It's amazing how free the honesty is to be 100% honest, not just for yourself. It empowers yourself to be honest, because now you can live your own true self. But for the other person that didn't know, it kind of it takes a while. Like you said, it can take a while a bit, but you actually go into a whole next level of your relationship, I think.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Kevin, you were going to say, I'm sorry.
No, I was just really happy for you, Tara. It's just such a, you know, I mean, family relationships and then something, you mean, look, you toss in reality television. I happen to be a high-profile stigma survivor that happened to my wife and I in a way that we weren't prepared for. You know, I went from being a teacher for 2 decades to suddenly being on the evening news as the porn star teacher, because when I wasn't teaching at a time of extreme poverty, I was doing some gay porn with my wife's knowledge because we were trying to do legal work to stay off the street. You know, so when that comes out and they're saying you can't be married, and suddenly it comes out that you're bisexual because of the evening ambush news, that's a surreal experience as well. Not the same as yours, but when I hear that you've been able to go through it, to be able to have now a conversation that are, you know, freeing, I just think it's a great example, because as we know, and I'm going to say this as a bisexual leader, and also I'll say this here, I'll announce this, one that it sounds like we're going back to the White House again, Scott, in October, and I don't know if you know about Celebrate Bisexuality Day, Tara, but I'd love to, you know, keep you informed of what's going on. It's in October. But here's the thing I say is, when you think of bisexuals and you think of the things that are spoken about, you know, reasons for erasure, you know, be it, you know, the greediness, that you can't make up your mind, you're just sitting on a fence, you know, all these different things. When you hear someone like here, Tara, comes out to her family, to her partner, and, you know, like I said, toss in the reality television part of it here, there's a lot of things that can go wrong there. So it's the courage, but I'm also just happy for you, because it's an orientation, it's a sexual orientation like anything else. So to be able to have your support, your relationship, and be who you are is something that most people enjoy. It's the closeted people that don't have that I want to say, look at what's going on here, and there is hope. No one's pushing you out. No one's trying to tell you what to do, but that's why these conversations can happen. Even when you can't imagine how they will, getting the right support first, you know, coming to something like the Healing Stigma website and checking out the resources there, talking to people that you can trust, that's the beginning of being able to be your whole identity, and that's beautiful. So anyway, congratulations, Tara.
Thank you, and likewise for you. What an incredible story you have, you know.
Go ahead.
Talk about Rob for a second, Tara. I know that, it, not only was it stigmatizing to you because of your family a bit, but then I've kind of seen interviews where Rob wasn't really – most guys brag that, hey, I have two beautiful ladies to choose from. And it kind of affected him a little bit in a way too, didn't it? How did Rob react to the whole thing after seeing it on TV?
You know, it's crazy. We didn't really think of anything as we're filming, you know. And we're like I felt like – we both felt like, oh, this is awesome. You know, you're coming out about being bi, and, you know, we're showing this, like, part of our life or whatever. And it was, like, empowering in a way. He, unfortunately, didn't like the outcome of it when it all got aired, you know, because he is a real estate agent, and a lot of his clients are very conservative, and the area that we work in is very conservative as well, and you're dealing with a lot of high-profile people. So
stigma,
thought, like,
stigma,
know,
stigma, stigma.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's prejudgment of people that are, you know, remember, bisexuals are untrustworthy.
I know, which is crazy.
Yep.
That's crazy to me. For me, it's like I didn't even think of myself as bisexual at first, okay? Because I was like, I'm attracted to someone's energy, whether that is man or female. If I'm attracted to your soul, to your energy, I don't care what, if you're a man or a woman, I'm attracted to you, you know? And then
I didn't. It was so funny. I couldn't even in the beginning of all this. I couldn't even admit it to myself that I was bisexual. Like I had the stigma for myself. You know, like that isn't
yeah.
weird. And then I was
well,
like,
yeah, but think
what?
About it.
Like,
if you don't have someone who is a good role model in that, often, I mean, I kid about it, but I say I lived in Europe for many years, so I just thought I was European. I didn't realize I was bisexual. I just thought I was like all these other attractive people I was hanging out with in Europe.
Yeah.
But you know, so I was like, oh, okay, wow, I'm bisexual. But these labels that allow me to express these things, I was bisexual for a long time before I was saying I was bisexual. And so I didn't see role models. I didn't see people that were, I mean, I saw the, if you will, the stock character of the bisexual, and I got sick of it. And that's why at times it's so lovely to have these conversations with people that, again, out, proud, and doing something about it
yeah.
is so important,
yeah.
again, for everyone in the LGBT community, you know, after Orlando and all these other things, but for the
oh
bisexual community especially, and for, here's the other thing I'll just tack on to this that maybe you'll talk about as well, because my wife gets it all the time. As a male bisexual, it's very different. I'm not going to take it from my experience, but for her, it's
yeah.
oftentimes an extremely fetishized conversation that diminishes
right.
the real feelings that a woman who is bisexual can have. And that's also a whole
yeah.
other side to it that can become upsetting for partners and others in a conversation, and then they don't want to talk
yeah.
about it. They want to kind of put the genie back in the bottle, and that can also hurt. But anyway, that's not your experience. I'm just putting that out there.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Well, yeah, and then it's the same people, like we don't know Rob's experience either, but it's, you can just imagine that at back of the golf clubhouse, the guys be going, well, good on you, two girls there, but all of a sudden in the business world, the same people are going to say
oh,
something
yeah.
different. So it's stigmatizing
yeah.
that way as well, right?
Oh, totally. It's crazy what
wow.
kind of stuff that I thought. Like, he had this one lady, like, write him the nastiest letter, like, saying how she's going to make sure that, you know, nobody works with him, and, like, how she's just, like, pretty much, like, grossed out by it, you know? And
wow.
it was just so, yeah, it was so sad to think that there was, like, that there's people like that, you know what I mean? And it
oh, yeah.
was so upsetting, and I felt so bad for him because, you know, he didn't think that this kind of outrage would come from something that he thought
yeah.
was so empowering, you know?
No.
Well, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and I want to go ahead and make sure when we come back, I want to talk all about a little bit the rest, how the rest of the show kind of went through and how you feel after the fact. I want to talk about the anxiety that caused you to miss your honeymoon and see if you actually got to catch up on that. But let's wait just
yeah.
a couple of seconds here. We're going to play another song from our good friend Jay Knight, Into the Sun. You're listening to Healing Stigma on Left of Straight Radio with our fantastic guest, Tara Radcliffe. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
Cause I'm not gonna break and break.
All righty, and we are back. That is our good friend Jay Knight with Into the Sun. We are talking with Tara Radcliffe, one of the featured couples on Bravo TV's hit show Newlyweds the first year on last season. We just talked about a little bit of the experiences being on the show, but we also found out during the show that you and Rob had this fantastic trip to Italy planned for your honeymoon, and I guess you've suffered from before from anxiety, and you make that trip. Talk about when did anxiety first come to you, and how are you dealing with it now?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I've had anxiety issues, panic disorder, for a majority of my life. I remember, like, the first panic attack I ever had was, like, when I was, like, 16 years old. And ever since that point, I was constantly being in this, like, state of, like, panic and fear and having anxiety attacks all the time. And so I'm like, I feel like I'm genetically just an anxious person, you know, and there's like nothing I can do about it, you know, and a lot of people have that. And it's like really unfortunate because it's like, it really makes me sad. And it's something that has been so hard for me because when people look at me and they talk to me and they're like, wow, she's just a normal girl and she's so happy and energetic. But deep inside, I'm like so scared shitless of everything. And I'm like, you know, having panic attacks for no reason. Like, I'll have a panic attack during dinner with a group of friends, and nobody will know I'm having a panic attack. It's like
that. Oh, that's exhausting. That is exhausting from friends of mine who have it, because I work a lot. Again, when you think of the statistics in mental health and the amount of stigma that comes from that, this is a whole nother side that we can talk about as well. But seriously, that is exhausting what people go through when they have a panic attack and can't tell anyone in the room.
Yeah, you have no idea. Like, so many days I am just so fatigued, but I also have so much energy, and it's just because I'm just so mentally fatigued from being so anxious all the time, you know, and it's draining and so uncomfortable. But recently I actually went into, and nobody knows this about me, but I actually checked into a outpatient program for anxiety right after the last episode of Newlyweds.
Good for you.
And
was it helpful?
I went into it. It was so life-changing for me. I actually did 60 days in an outpatient program to treat my anxiety because I couldn't deal with it. I was scared of driving. I was scared of going out in my house. It was like it had gotten that bad. And they did so much therapy on me. I did cognitive behavioral therapy, which really helped me tremendously. And now it's like anytime I have like any kind of fearful thought, or any time I'm dealing with an anxious moment, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to allow this anxiety to run through me. It's okay.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen to me. And any time like, I have like a thought that comes where I'm like, I remind myself, it's just nothing. And I'm totally fine, and I'm safe, and I'm grounded.
Yeah.
And it just makes me feel so much better when I say those things to myself whenever I'm going through a fearful moment. And, and meditating. That meditation has honestly helped me so much. I meditate every single morning, and I spend about, literally, I do maybe 10, 15 minutes of just, like, grounding exercise in the morning through meditation, through some guided meditation. And I've noticed after 30 days of doing it consecutively, it completely changed me. Like right now,
Wonderful.
I feel
good for you.
I have anxiety. It's still there, but it's like I don't let it take over my life anymore. You know, I'm like I'm still gonna go out. I'm gonna have a great time with my friends. And if I have an anxiety attack, who cares? I'm gonna have an anxiety attack. What am I gonna do about it?
Right.
I'm just kind of become very careless about it.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do about
is
your
so
honeymoon?
Brave.
You know, we still need to go on a honeymoon. Our 2 years is coming up next month, and we still haven't got. I think
maybe a big ocean liner. Can you make it out in the ocean? Do you think?
Oh, I love cruising. I'm trying to plan this like 16-day cruise from LA to Miami.
Oh, that'd be fantastic!
Yeah. Oh my God, I'm so excited about it. But you know, Bob is so great because he has accepted this fear of mine, you know, and I feel bad because I know he wants to travel and it's always like this big dilemma anytime we book a plane ticket. But, you know, I love that he's accepted me and he's accepted my fear and he doesn't make me feel bad about it, you know? And
that's fantastic.
Yeah, he understands that it's something that I can't control, and if I could, I would, you know? And
yeah.
It's great to have a partner.
But
in
the
my
fact
life,
that you're
but,
able to work on it, the fact that you're able to make that kind of progress, the guts it takes to go in, to check in and do that, is also really wonderful because it can continue to wear people down and they can feel helpless. I mean, you know, here's just another statistic I'm throwing out here, which is the fact that, you know, we have healthcare now in this country that's trying to give more and more people that need access to it the healthcare. Forget about politics right now. But in it still, I saw the other day that as many as 70% of the people that could be getting health care dealing with mental illness issues are not getting it out of fear of stigma in the workplace, of someone finding out in the workplace. That's a huge
great
statistic. 70% might not be getting the help just out of fear of stigmatization.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. And by the way, for those that are just trying to add it up on either side, whatever your political party, that costs our country, that costs employers, that costs us so much more when people don't get the treatment, when they don't get the compassion, when they don't get to talk about who they are and what's bothering them. Because, Tara, you were so smart to say this. Look, it's not your fault. You really have a great husband that you love, and you want to go on a vacation, or you know, on whatever it is you guys want to do. But trust me, that's the last thing someone would do to try and call it off. It is a huge burden, and all I can say is for me, it's not the same. But I will kind of butt in. I have PTSD moments because of after the ambush with lenses. Anything to do with a camera lens used to make me very ill. And now I'm proud to say from my poetry book, I was able to go on the red carpet in New York. And you know what? I still had my moments, but I had friends, I had people there supporting me, and I got through it. And like you said, it's not the end of the world. It's actually the beginning of a new experience by being able to deal with it and move forward. So you're awesome, dear. You really are.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
So what's it now like looking back after the show's been around and you've been able to kind of see yourselves on TV and everything? I know it filmed way before and it's a little back afterwards. But did you guys really learn anything about yourselves from the show, watching the show now, and where are you guys at now?
Great question.
Together?
I'm not sure if we've really learned anything from the show. It was crazy seeing our behaviors. You know, on a show, you know, it's like, I feel like, wow, do I really act like that? Or do I, you know, it's like some of the things that like I said or did on the show, I'm like, whoa, like, who is that girl? You know, it's like shocking to me. And Rob felt the same way with him and with himself. And,
What's going on now? Do you have any other plans? Now that you've done the reality TV, we'll talk about Pinup Housewife in just a second, but do you guys find yourself kind of liking the entertainment business? Does Rob kind of just go back? Does he just want to be a regular real estate person again, or do you guys see yourself kind of moving forward, or how is that going?
I definitely see myself doing some other kind of show in the future. That's definitely another goal of mine. I love the entertainment industry, and it's always something that has been fun for me. And I love being in front of the camera. It's just something that I feel very comfortable with. And
the camera loves you, but you are wonderful, dear. I just got to tell you, the camera might love you, but you work it so well. You're gorgeous, really. And here's the other thing. I'm going to tell the whole bi community about you. You're going to have a whole big following from the bi community as well, because there's going to be people who are like, hey, she's one of us. She's out. She's proud. She's one of us. And look at what she's doing about it. So I'm telling you, you're going to get a following.
I love that. I love that. Oh, my gosh. That makes me so happy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This happens for a reason.
You deserve it. You deserve every bit of it, my dear.
Oh,
so talk a little bit about Pinup Housewife. How did that come about? What's your goals for that right now? You're kind of getting ready to blog. And I'm not going to let you talk too much about the cooking aspect, because we're going to save that for my show, because I'm the foodie guy.
Oh,
so
good.
Go ahead and,
cool.
Go ahead and talk about
in
general the concept there.
So Pinup Housewife is pretty much my love for pinup fashion and cooking and entertaining. I love being a host. Like, I love to have friends over. So I'm going to do a lot of, like, blog posts on really fun, easy entertainment tips, and obviously a lot of great recipes. Based a lot on aphrodisiac ingredients, like everything that's
Yay.
Like more libido and testosterone raising. So things are going to help with libido and testosterone, obviously. And then obviously my pinup fashion and my retro fashion with that stuff. So it's just a place where I can kind of talk about everything that I love so much, you know, and maybe have some really fun little
I can already say you picked some great colors, and the and what you've done so far with it, though, visually, I don't have words for it other than to say people have to go check this out. But where do you get your visual – I mean, I know I mentioned Dita before. Maybe that's just too much of an obvious, you know,
mega
– but, I mean, I do – I happen to be a big fan of Dita Von Teese as well. But I'm just curious, you know, visually, what are your influences, do you think?
Well, Dita Von Teese is my influence for sure.
Yeah.
So much. But as far as what? As far as my pictures go, or as far as like.
Just for style. Your style is so.
Yeah, for style. Yeah.
The color is so classic that you pick.
Thank you. Yeah, so obviously Dita Von Teese is a big icon of mine. I love her so much. But just these, all these like 1950s, 1960s like sex icons, you know, like Marilyn Monroe and Bridget Bardot, you know, Sophia Loren, like these are all people, like women that I idolize and I love, and I love the way that they would carry themselves and how elegant and but sexy they would look. And, you know, a lot of my fashion is based on those women. And yeah, just anything that's timeless.
Do you see that as a movement now, again, as a style movement again? Are there other people? Because I'm, you know, I know, like I said, I just think that when I think of, here's the one thing I've always said this to people out in the West Coast, they get it in the LA area. If I go back there again, there's this term called AWOL. You might know it, right?
Uh-huh.
Always west of Lincoln. That's where I'd be, west of Lincoln, right? I am so at the coast, right out there watching the sun. But there's something about it there. But is it a movement? Is it a fashion movement that others are, you know, in terms of gaining ground as a way of expression? Because this elegance is also a great way of expression here that goes back to the beginning of empowering oneself. When you feel beautiful like this and you're hosting with your friends, there's something wonderful also in building community and talking and enjoying each other's stories, you know. But is it do other people find this as a style, is it catching on in a way that is also a type of empowerment, let's say?
Yeah, definitely. Well, obviously my style is very, like, it could be kind of like, not rockabilly, but it's huge in the rockabilly community. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the way and the whole swing dresses and the wiggle dresses and all those things is very rockabilly. So there's a huge rockabilly community and big rockabilly community, obviously, in L.A.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I'm just waiting to see you in a nice convertible 1950 or 60 car with your little scarf on your head.
Oh,
and
it's gonna happen, honey. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. It's like dying for a little 1967 Mercedes convertible so bad.
Oh, there you go.
Oh,
and
God.
Rob's getting some advantage of this too. There's some great pics of you. You're putting out some nice spreads for some of Rob's open houses and everything, right?
Oh, yes, totally. Yeah, I do a lot of his little wine and cheese events at his open houses, and we try to work together as much as possible. So
that is great. I mean, I still hear what you said in the beginning about your mother being a hostess and enjoying getting people together for good things, you know, because still, I mean, it's another industry. We got people in the real estate industry that obviously do really great things, but then at times the industry can get really hit hard by, again, stigma. And another thing, oftentimes, and I've heard this again, you know, real estate agents can be at risk when they go out and do their jobs as well. You know, we're talking about, you know, so I think it's so wonderful that you're getting the chance to do this in so many different ways, but capturing it in a website where so many people now can follow it. What would you say now past the website, or what is the next thing that you would like to do as a result of the website for your plans, Tara? Where does Pinup Housewife go from here?
Honestly, I want to have a Christmas show one day.
Yeah.
That's what I'm working towards. I would love to have my own little cooking show with a whole little pinup vibe to it. And I mean, that's my.
Don't say too much. Scott's going to make you say that. Scott's going to make you say that for his show. I don't want him to get mad.
I know. That's my ultimate dream goal, though, and that's what I want to work hard towards. So
cool.
Yeah, we'll see about that, you know.
Well, you and I are going to have to tag team Brandon Liberati then, Tara, because he does Giada's hair, right?
Yes.
Got to get you on that food network.
Oh, my gosh. You got to get on that. I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, Brandon on the stick, man, I'm telling you.
Hey, but you know what else? Well, hey, Scott. Scott, one other thing I'm gonna bump in here as well, though, Tara. Remember this, is that a dear friend of mine, and he's out on the West Coast as well. He's a 15-time, he's a national bestseller nutritionist, the nutrition mythbuster, Johnny Bowden. He'd be very interested. Uh-huh. We should do another show about, you know, how the libido is affected by nutrition, by what you eat. So there's a whole nother side to this that has the, you know, in terms of sex coach and the results, positive results in your life, different from the foodie position. But please think of coming back when I talk about Johnny Bowden and what we're doing with nutrition.
I would love that. I have
cool.
so much information on that, and I think that would be an amazing topic to talk about.
You know, take a lot of medicines as Americans. I always say this, but you think about it, the chemical or chemical imbalances because of what food we take in can change your mood, how you feel. It's
everything.
So amazing.
Everything. I'm so conscious about what I put into my body because of how I know things would affect me, you know, even when I pig out. Like, I get myself mentally ready. I'm like, okay, I know how this is going to affect me tomorrow, and I've accepted it. It's okay. But it's like, all these food, and, like, everything affects the body so much. It's incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
Love
good
that.
Job. I'm a fan.
I can't believe we're running
side.
Out of time already here. I hate to play time, please. We're getting ready to run out of time. Do me a favor and tell all our listeners where they can find your website and your social media addresses.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at Tara_Ratcliffe. And make sure to check out my website, pinuphousewife.com. And, I also have Twitter and Facebook, so you can find me on those as well.
Well, it's been our pleasure getting to know you. I can't wait to have you back on the Left of Straight show on Tuesday the 26th. But it's been my pleasure getting to know you even more, Tara. I've loved you on TV. I think you and Rob are such a great couple together. Kevin, what's your final words for our guest today?
Tara, I'm telling you, from a Boston Irishman to you and Rob, you guys are a real winning team. Your interview today, I think, was a total home run, as we'll say. And I'm going to tell all my bi friends, all my LGBT friends in the greater community to listen to this and to follow you. And like I said, just when we're off the air, just please give me your address because I'm going to send you my poetry book so you guys can check that out and have fun with it.
I would love that for sure. This has been such a fun time, and it's such a pleasure talking to you both. And, I'm grateful to have done this with you guys.
Hey, listen, don't forget tonight. Go get treated first class at your party now, all right? No, just chill. I don't think you have to leave the ground in order to have fun at your party tonight. So have a great time.
Exactly.
All right, Tara, we'll stay on the line for us. We're going to talk to you in just 1 second here while we're at our last song of the day. We want to thank Tara Ratcliffe for being such a great guest. We're going to play a little bit of our Matt Van Foss and go a little country here with Time Ain't What It Used To Be. You're listening to Healing Stigma on Left to Straight Radio. We'll be back in just a couple of moments.
And we don't feel like a moment only.
Alrighty, and we are back. That was Matt Von Fassen with Time Ain't What It Used to Be. Wow, wasn't she terrific, Kevin?
Yeah, what a wonderful lady, huh? That was really fun. The Pinup Housewife.
So
I'm not going to forget that title. That was so fun.
No. And the pictures, like we said, we were talking about off air, they're just gorgeous. I mean,
And she is gorgeous. I mean, here's the thing. Her personality is gorgeous, and that's just so wonderful when that's combined. Her story, which was, you know, was kind of nice, is like I think, I mean, obviously you get that chance to know people a little bit more in something like this, but after the reality show and all the rest, wasn't it wonderful how you got to kind of hear the real her tonight and what she's doing now because of all of this? That was a really lovely story she told.
Exactly. And it was so great. I mean, they had a lot of things overcome on the show, and they did it so like you said, it's so publicly. But then to hear the private story behind it, just really cool, and see how she's back with her parents, because her parents, one thing we didn't talk about, I mean, they had the whole engagement party or whatever, it kind of had a big faux pas in the middle of that. And they were on some thin ice to begin with. So to know that everything is so great for them all, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, we've had some, you know, we have obviously things that are very, very serious now coming up for our country, and we have very serious issues to consider. But isn't it wonderful that through all of it, we still see that having conversations sometimes may lead to some yelling and screaming, but conversations, aren't they so much more wonderful when they lead to, you know, this kind of acceptance and being able to be all of you with those that love and support you moving forward? You know what I'm saying? So
that was a
great way to, I think, remind us during this week and with everything else that's going on that, you know, Tara, an out bisexual, a pinup housewife, is also a wonderful partner. She's doing wonderful work, and she's helping empower others by what she does. That's expression at its best. So great job, Scott. You really got my energy up. Even, you know, and I was up from the White House phone calls and everything else, but boy, this just really picked up my spirits as well. So hats off to you again, my friend.
No problem. We find some great people. Speaking of which, next week, we're kind of playing it by ear next week. We had such great response to last week's show. Thank you so much for letting Kevin and I tell our stories a little bit last week. And this next week, I'm going to have to do a way trip to Columbus again. If you remember last time, I was stuck in that echo chamber, so I don't know how well it's going to work there. So we're going to try to see if Kevin and I can put something together. We're not going to schedule a guest for next week. We may do a repeat, but if possible, we're going to try to do a Kevin and I doing some live chat again, just kind of on current events, because I think that the listeners really liked that last week. So we'll kind of play.
Well, we'll have some more to talk about.
Here.
Yeah, we'll have some more to talk about, because the work that's going on right now, as I said, even though it's off the record, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be worked out in this next week coming up that I will be very excited to talk about. And just keep doing the good work, everyone. Keep hope, you know, not despair. As the president said, keep hope in your daily conversation with those that mean the most. And, you know, listen to someone else. Encourage a conversation. Listen to someone else's point of view. You'll be better for it.
Exactly. And please do check out, if not tomorrow night, check out for us on Friday, the new website. Again, at www.healingstigmaradio.com. Please join in the conversation and follow us on Twitter at Heal Stigma Radio. Look for Healing Stigma on Facebook to follow everything there, and Left of Straight Show for everything that's happening on Twitter. On Facebook. We were able to talk to the Groovalados. We're going to actually play out tonight with the Groovalados.
They
had a last-minute thing. They're so busy, we can't reschedule until September. They're going to be here, I think, the second Tuesday in September. But we do want to let all of our friends know out there that if you want to listen to a fantastic group, they're going to be performing this Saturday, the 16th. They're doing it at the Old School Party. It's at the what is it, the International Inn in Hyannis, and it's going to be Saturday at 9 o'clock. It's only $15 per person. Great group to listen to. We're going to play out one of their songs, the Her Groove, because I think it goes great with her in just a couple of minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And then the week after next, we have Samson. He is an out gay black comic that I think would be great
comic,
to talk
yeah.
about something that's happening now. He'll be on here
yeah.
in just a couple of weeks. So a lot of great shows coming up for us.
Yeah. Yeah, really exciting stuff. Really exciting stuff. And, you know, I just say to everybody out there as you're going forward, check out some of the other shows if you haven't heard them, because, you know, there's so many different voices here that we're going to be returning to. Every one of these shows has been a real pleasure to do, Scott. I was talking to somebody who was listening, I think, what is it, with the new Android app, and they were really excited about it. So good job
super
to the whole tech
duper.
Group. Yeah.
Well, as
yeah,
always,
really
it's my
stuff.
Pleasure hosting with you, Kevin. Thank you so much for all your insights and everything you do with Healing Stigma. Please be sure to join us here every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. Eastern time. If we're not live next week, we'll play you a best of show that you will absolutely love.
Yeah.
We're going to try to get here for you live next week as well. But check out the website, and we're going to finish it off tonight with a little bit of the Groovalados with Her Groove. Thanks so much for listening to Healing Stigma on Left to Straight Radio. We will talk to you next week.
Made.